I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda Senior Market Analyst in Singapore, Kelvin Wong. Good morning from London, Kelvin, and good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny. Very late afternoon over at my end here in Asia.
And here in the UK, the start of another working week. What are the headlines so far where you are in Asia Pacific?
I would say that market started off the week with rather conflicting price action movement. So I would say conflicting in a way is number one. We have oil prices that is trading down right now as we are speaking. So if you look at the crude oil prices from US, we talk about Brent, we talk about the light crude oil. So if you look at very quickly, the futures pricing right now for the US light crude oil is actually down negative, 2% or so, trading at around $85 per barrel. And if you look at the Brent crude oil, it's down almost, 3% right now as we are speaking. Trading at around the futures price, trading at around $90 per barrel or so. And on the other hand, despite that push down in this oil prices right now, we do not see it translating to a risk on environment for the global stock market. So over at my space in Asia today, all the markets already closed for today's session. So today's session is rather more bearish than bullish. So we have the Nikkei 225 down by negative 0.7%. We have the Hang Seng Index down by negative 1.9%. And the China A-shares benchmark stock indices, the CSI 300, a broader based one that comprises the big cap stocks listed on the Shanghai and Shenzhen exchanges, down by negative 1.2%. And we have the high beta South Korea KOSPI index down by negative 3.8%, which is primarily meaning that the two semiconductor chip makers, SK Hynix and Samsung Electronics, are down for today as well. And Singapore Straits Times Index is down marginally negative 0.15%. So what we could see over here is that this conflicting, we call it movement between oil prices, which is coming off right now, but that doesn't translate to a risk on environment in the global stock indices. And talking about that, the NASDAQ 100 e-mini futures and the S&P 500 e-mini futures are also trading down as well, where the S&P e-mini futures is down by negative 0.14%. The NASDAQ 100 e-mini futures is down by negative 0.5%. So one of the reasons is potentially due to this key press conference that's going to be announced later. It's a public press conference by the U.S. Treasury Secretary Bissett. So over the weekend, he announced that he will do a public press conference later during the US session at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So translate that to Asia time zone will be 2 a.m. Singapore time on a very early Tuesday, 25th of August. So what's going to be announcing will be potentially fresh sanctions on Iran. So we know that this US-Iran situation has been rather complicated in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Initially, at the start of August, we are talking about a breakthrough where both sides will potentially sit down and form a middle ground, re-establishing a second initial preliminary peace deal. But that doesn't take hold. And right now, US is trying to force Iran's hand back into this game of poker again by looking at it from a different angle. So instead of targeting offensive physical attacks on Iranian assets or Iranian infrastructure, this time around, US decided to actually enforce stricter, harsher economic warfare tactics on Iran, which is igniting much more fresh sanctions. Do not forget, we already have sanctions in place for Iranians, we call it oil supply to the rest of the world. and also certain Iranian assets are being frozen globally. So right now, market will be paying close attention. What are the further details that U.S. Treasury Secretary Bishop will announce, or what are the fresh sanctions that could be potentially put in play? And there's some speculation. It's not really a baseline scenario, not a very high probability outcome, is that U.S. will now target on Iranian airlines, particularly countries that purchase Iranian oil supply, which is China. So there could be a possibility that China is being flagged out. Who knows? There could be some form of, we call it, measure that actually being imposed on China. But that will, that I would say, in my own opinion, is a low probability event, given the fact that China presidency will be doing a high-level meetup with U.S. President Trump next month, right, exactly next month in Washington, in a slew of events that that they actually agree on to actually potentially put a pause to that that U.S. Harsh tariffs on China that is being on a pause phase since 1 year ago. So I do not think that U.S. Treasury Bishop will announce sweeping, what I call it, potential tariff measures against China in light with that so-called new fresh sanction that he could be announcing to target Iran.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kelvin. Very interesting. Before we dive back into the markets, we have an important update about the future of Market Pulse. August will be the final month of the Market Pulse Insights podcast as we pivot our focus, but our analysis is not stopping. So to keep your trading edge sharp, visit Market Pulse or follow our social channels. Right, Kelvin, what about the next few days? What about the week ahead? What are the highlights as far as you're concerned?
Sure. So primarily, there are actually three events in my radar to take note of. The first event will be coming out this Wednesday. Singapore timing will be 8:30 p.m. Singapore time in the evening, where we have the release of the core PC price index over here. So bear in mind that the core PC price index is still the preferred inflation gauge that the Fed monitor. So core PCE price index has been rather much more stickier on the upside compared to the CPI data. Why? Because of the way the core PCE is being calculated, where its weights, the basket of items that within the core PCE price index is being updated monthly, whereas the CPI basket is only being updated annually. And the way that a higher energy-related price component has been adjusted more heavily due to wholesale prices that are getting much more pricier due to this ongoing U.S.-Iran conflict as well. So if you were to strip up the energy component and the food component, which talk about the core PC price index, that also has been rather elevated on the upside over here, given the fact that the weightages of the healthcare factor is much more highly weighted in the PCE, we call it calculation component, versus the one that is in the CPI calculation. So if we were to look at the situation right now, market participants is still expecting a rather elevated core PCE price index on the annualized basis. So core PCE price index year on year, market is still looking for a high print of 3.3% year on year. So that's almost unchanged from the June print. So at 3.3% year on year, it's almost close to a 26 month high for historical perspective. So as long as market is still looking for a rather elevated print of the core PCE price index, we still see a possibility that the Fed will still hike rates, but it's only the fact that right now the hike is being pushed backward for the first hike to come in only in the December meeting. So if you look at the CME FedWatch 2 over here, market is still looking for a low probability that the Fed will move the dealer, but that means hiking expectation is only at a probability of 36% for the upcoming September meeting, 16th of September next month, and market is now looking for it to come in later on the last meeting of this year, December the 9th, the 9th of December FOMC meeting, a high chance of 97% chance that the US Federal Reserve will ignite at least one 25 basis point hike before this year ends. So the only thing that will move the expectation is we have a very strong core PCI print that going way above 3.3%. That means coming in at 3.5%. Then potentially the hawkish repricing will start to come back into the picture as soon as the September meeting or in the October meeting. And the second event to take note of will be more pertaining to the earnings season in the US. So we know that NVIDIA being a AI juggernaut, and NVIDIA that is kind of provide that indirect financing for the rest of the US semiconductor supply chain and AI infrastructure stack, NVIDIA will report its latest earnings on Wednesday after the close of the US session. That means on 25th of August after the close of the US session. Singapore timing, it will be early Thursday on 27th of August after 4 a.m. Singapore time over here. So with that, market was definitely focusing on the press conference of NVIDIA earnings, especially we know that over the weekend, NVIDIA actually hiked certain higher-end chips products for their customer. So market participants will be hearing that how this particular hike in products, the latest price hike in products, will potentially impact its bottom line going forward. Will there be a continuation of high demand despite this price hike? So all will be potentially be a quiz up or be asked by analysts and reporters during the press conference on the earnings after the earnings result that's being announced after the end of the at the end of the US session on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 26th of August. So the last highlight on my event on my list will be the Jackson Hole Symposium. So Jackson Hole Symposium, we will have Kevin Warsh, first time, for very first time, him being him as US Federal Reserve Fed Chair, will so-called deliver his median keynote speech in the Jackson Hole Symposium. Will be at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday. So convert it to Singapore timing, it will be at 10 p.m. Singapore timing. In the past, we talk about previous Fed Chair from Bernanke and Powell. They will tend to use their speeches in Jackson Hole Symposium to provide a bit of forward-looking monetary policy guidance that could be potentially a market-moving events over here. But this time around, in my own opinion, Kevin Warsh's speech may not be a market-moving event. He may continue to his, a lack of forward monetary policy guidance, like what he did during the July press conference, where he did not mention much about what the Fed is expecting to do in the next few months. And he maintained his goal of keeping inflationary in check in the long run, bringing inflation rate in the US towards the 2% long-term target done by the Fed. So why is it so? Because bear in mind that once during that point out where Kevin Warsh took leadership in the Fed, he did mention that he has curated this task force in the US task force committee inside the US Federal Reserve. And two of these task force committee communication, which is the US Federal Reserve forward monetary policy guidance, how they want to communicate their views, their opinion or views towards the market. Communication is one of the task force. And the second task force will be looking at inflation. So one of the potential twinkling of inflation is that we know that in the long run, previously, for many, many years, Fed has been using that 2% long-term inflation target. So there could be a change in this 2% long-term inflation target. So 2% may not be relevant right now, given the current geopolitical situation since the Russian-Ukraine conflict. So perhaps it could be 2.5%. That is a much more sensible number. So the task force is still in their finding stage, all right? So the recommended findings will only be released at the end of this year. So in my own opinion, until the release of these findings from these five task force that's being tasked by US Federal Reserve Fed Chair to do their research, I do not see this Friday keynote address by Kevin Warsh will be a market moving event, given that the task force are still in progress of doing their findings. So I do not believe that he wants to rock the boat by making a very bold, forward-looking monetary policy guidance out by the Fed this Friday. So it could be a non-event as well.
Excellent stuff, Kelvin. Thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great week.
Same to you, Johnny.